Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 23 of It's Just Bodybuilding with my co-host, Dusty Hanshaw, and myself, Big Ron Partlow. On today's episode, we're going to answer a ton of your Instagram questions on Coach's Corner. Hey Dusty, what's going on?
Living the dream. I'm already perusing all of these questions.
You're
getting ready. Getting ready to answer all the drug questions.
Yeah, yeah. I'm excited about the ones that are sort of ridiculous. I've got a couple good ones. Before we start hammering on questions, we're just gonna do back and forth today, right?
Yeah, bam, we're shooting.
Okay, so before we get into that, like and subscribe. You know how this works. Like, subscribe, and if you actually really love us, you could comment and share. So we appreciate it, and let's get going. You look bigger, and I love the shirt.
Thank you. I thought it was fitting.
I didn't realize you were going to have it so quickly.
Yeah. I mean, I was pretty stoked, too, when it came in the mail. Then I found on this secret side of mine a bunch of other ones, which I ordered yesterday. So I'm kind of excited. You know, I'm not releasing that information. This is my website.
So is there a day when you like to wear kind of a goofy t-shirt to the gym? Like, do you have you almost always train in a mutant shirt?
Yeah, I pretty much only train in my mutant gear. So I think it's time for me to start making my own, because I already make my own, but I think I'm going to have some fun with it. So I'm going to be mutant with a little Dusty sprinkled in it. How do they do that? Like this?
Yeah,
it's all about the heights.
I like to wear kind of like, I remember listening to John Meadows. He said that he likes to wear ironic t-shirts to the gym, you know? What? Well, like, you know, Pancake Superhero and all that stuff, plus all his Marvel shirts and everything. So I was like, oh, I kind of have a thing. I didn't know I did, but I do it. And it's, I kind of wear, weird, not weird, but like non bodybuilding shirts on leg day.
Right.
I have a big Star Trek shirt that I wear on leg day, like a 4X off eBay or 5X. I've got a giant AC/DC shirt. I've got a giant Pulp Fiction shirt. I sort of wear
a leg day hat, though.
Yeah, the leg day hat I still wear sometimes. So there's just some, I don't know. I think I like to wear kind of a funny or whatever, something non-bodybuilding just to take the edge off, you know?
Yeah, maybe the humor breaks down the pain a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, never know. I like those the big 5XLs for leg day. So that's kind of my style.
I like the big baggy too, especially if I'm wearing the tights. These fucking guys in the gray tights and their schlong hanging out in my face all the time. I'm like, oh, like, can we at least wear a longer shirt? Nobody wants to see your little soldier running around. It's not good.
Yeah, everyone knows that gray sweatpants are for showing your dick off.
And that's acceptable if you're ready for that level. But if you're not, you're making a negative announcement. It's like dropping your checking account balance when it's negative $26 in front of the hot check. Not a good plan.
Another thing too, is technically, let's say you are training legs.
Yes.
Your body goes into fight or flight. And we all know what happens to your genitals when you're in fight or flight.
The water was cold.
Things come up close to your body to actually evolutionary. It's to protect your fucking dick and your balls so that they don't get ripped off in a fight. So when fight or flight hormones hit us, our fucking everything, kind of our testicles comes in just to protect. You know, you watch a couple of dogs fight, their fucking balls come up. Like it's just the way the.
How does he know this?
Yeah. No, I would just say I'm Mr. Documentary.
So, hey, somewhere you had a bad experience with a woman that saw something. You're like, no.
I was just fire in a flight. I was just in a street fight.
My legs are huge. It's an illusion.
Yeah, well, there you go. There's another thing. Quads or something. You're rocking the 32s.
And it works perfectly until she busts out a measuring tape. I'm like, no, my legs are huge. She's like, an inch is an inch. Fuck.
Yeah, she's all about ratios.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, that's not – well, I mean, I get that, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
I understand that.
You're like, I'm about ratios, too.
Oh, what's up, Jedi? Good
Jedi's being you, a guard. So I got my Empire Strikes Back mug.
Wow, this is – you mean business today.
Yeah.
That looks like a tiny mug. You have, like, a giant hand.
This is this is the only normal regular person mug that I own.
I would like to see you actually try to grab that mug because it's not going to fucking work. The handle's too small.
Yeah, like I can just like, yeah, it's pretty tiny little mug. But it's like a normal coffee cup, you know what I mean? So, but all my other ones are, of course.
As they should be. They're in ratio.
They're in ratio. They look right in my hand, Dusty.
That's the key. I like this. It's right? Very magical. Is it a huge cup or a tiny hand? We'll never look right know. In your hand.
I got big hands, so it's got to look right in the hand, yeah. No, man. So so are we going to start with some Coach's Corner here and see where it takes us?
Yeah. And, you know, I want to bounce around. So, you know, I try my best to look at some different options of questions. And then I'm going to hit some of the ones that I hate answering as well. So,
okay. All right, so I got one to kind of kick it off.
Roll. Go.
Okay. And I also have a bit of a bet with myself as to how many questions we actually get to because we sidebar, fucking sidebar, sidebar, sidebar. Okay. We'll try to bring it back. Let's start off with something fun.
Yes.
So I kind of answered this one on my story, but it's not like you and I will. So it's from Motivate Muscle. What job would you be terrible at?
Oh my God. Anything that requires listening. No, you know what it would be? It's like for me, for sure, it'd be being a waiter. You know, because I'm always amazed. Because, like, for example, you ever notice this is something I'm awesome at? I meet people at a show, right? And I'm really good about I'm Dusty, right? And then they say I'm Jack. And when they say that, I heard nothing. And I'm like, fuck, what is his name? I asked for his name. He gave me his name. I heard him. And I was staring and I was. Focus, nothing. I don't know Jack. So imagine that with pancakes.
And steaks.
No, medium. I mean, I'm going to make it the way it should be. If you say medium well, I'm not fucking bringing it that way anyways. I'm not going to ruin a quality steak. You know, I heard what you said, but I didn't want to fuck it up. So this is medium rare. You're going to love it. There you go.
That's funny. You said a job that I actually did.
And were you any good at it?
Yeah. You know, they gave me the power section in the restaurant, so I had all the good booths. I was like this big 250-pound fucking meathead waiter.
How old were you?
19.
And you were a good. I see. That just baffles me.
I wanted to bartend at this restaurant. It was a pretty cool restaurant, and they said, "Well, you can't get behind the bar right away, but if you serve for 3 months, we'll slide you in."
Right.
And so I did 3 months of dining room serving. And then and then they put me behind the bar, and then I was like happy, rocked it back there. So,
right. Yeah, I couldn't do that either.
Yeah, the bar was way better. I didn't like serving, but it wasn't I just was kind of good at it. It wasn't I didn't really find it hard. And you just had to focus and be have a sense of urgency. Like you have to walk real fast everywhere.
Right.
Like when I see a waiter, because I've done that job.
Right.
When I get served by someone and they slow walk, I'm like, fuck, you got stuff to do. Like, I know what your job is like. You can't slow walk.
You mean none of this? See, fucking already.
Bam, bam, I don't bam, do bam, anything bam.
Fast. So, see, there's another strike against me and being a waiter.
Yeah.
But what about, like, the other problem, though, is this, right? And I hate when I do this to the waiter. They're busting by my table real quick. He's got a thought in his mind. I go, yeah, can I get some extra ranch? That I'd be the fucking end of me. Whatever the guy before asked for, gone.
Right.
Now, now I'm taking ranch to the first guy. Because the second guy, I was like, yeah, who doesn't want some ranch? Here you go. What the fuck else did you want? Shit.
Right. It's you just kind of develop a system. Like I remember, because I bartended for like, you know, 12 years. I worked in the bar for 16 years, bartended for like 11 of them, I think. So anyways, you just develop a system like, you know, in a restaurant scenario, every once in a while, you just stop at the till, you know, when you're ringing stuff in.
Yeah.
And you just look at your section. And you just look at every table and you just fucking ranch. That guy needed ranch. And it just like, you just got to take every once in a while to just do like, and you just look at every table and relax for a minute and you just boom, 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 ring everything in. But yeah, it gets hectic and you get flustered and you're going to fuck up. Yeah. And you feel bad, but if you got a good manager, they fucking, you know, promo the table and help you out a bit. And, but you know, it's a tough job. Some people aren't suited for it because they just, it's just not the way. Like there's other things I would fucking, I don't know. I think boring, repetitive stuff.
Right.
Like I worked in a warehouse for 3 months at one point, like 8 hours a day. And I remember working in a warehouse for 8 hours a day. And like some of the guys there, they were like fucking love, like it was, they were having fun and fucking rocking the forklift and cranking their tunes and they're up front rapping pallets and fucking high fiving. And like some of those guys loved working there. And like some of them made good money too, like the manager and shit, like, you know, yeah, he was doing okay. And they loved it, but I just fucking could not believe I was spending 8 hours in that fucking, like, staring at boxes and tape. Like, I just, I just couldn't believe.
You know what the issue is? Like, see, I did phone sales before for a phone book company. You kids right. probably don't know what a phone book is anymore, but they used to have these books. Anyways, I digress. Yeah, so I did ad sales, and I could sell anything, so it was fine, but I fucking hated it. So I had a system in my head that an 8-hour day was X amount long, and at the time, they paid you dick, but you got commission. So yeah. All I would do is figure out how much I needed to sell to get to $15 an hour based on the full 8 hours, knowing full well I was not going to be there for 8 hours, and I would leave as soon as I was done.
Right.
And I remember for a while, because I was obviously very good at it, the manager was like, you can't just leave. And I'm like, I'm going to go. I'm sorry. You know, it's fine. I just knew I was making them enough money that they would never fire me. So I'd be there for like 4 hours a day and bounce. There were dudes that worked there. I remember when I was in there and I'm like meeting people. And it's always in like a shitty lunch room and it's dark. And like you just want to kill yourself from the moment you walk in. The guy's like, yeah, I've been here for 17 years. I'm like, I've been there for like 17 minutes and I'm ready right. to bolt. You know what I mean? Well, and then the other problem is you got these bosses in those kind of jobs I found who aren't actually important. They're not actually making any money. So their title and the ability to like yell at you is their thing.
Yeah.
Does not vibe well with my personality. No.
Shocking.
Yeah.
The revelations we come to on it's just bodybuilding.
Yeah. Being yelled at by some chump ass kid was not going to work. Being yelled
at. Who would have known?
Yeah. How am I unemployable? So, yeah, I guess every job that requires me having a boss is a job I would not be good at.
Right. And I guess I sort of always wound up, I sort of like working with people. Like, mm-hmm. that's why I couldn't handle, like, you know, assembly line stuff or anything, because it's just, I need to be interacting with something. So, yeah, it's a good question, though.
It is. I like this one.
So you go ahead. Your turn. You fire something.
Fuck, mine aren't even, I want something fun now. People ask me to do better questions.
Okay, I got a few more of those styles, so you can get technical on us if you have to.
All right, I'm gonna go into some of the questions I don't. Okay, I actually just did a video on this, but I haven't released it yet. How do you know when it's time to do a deload if you're doing progressive overload training?
Stuff starts to hurt, right? Like, it's one thing to have, like, I got a little bit of something here, mm-hmm. but I got a little bit of something here. This kind of hurts. My fucking hip was bothering me on leg day. Okay.
Right.
You're at three things now. Like,
if you're no longer walking properly,
you know what I mean? So like that would be one thing. Getting weaker,
obviously,
like, you suddenly, you know, that happens, man. I've been there. You go in and you're like, fuck, I kind of was weak today. And then the next day you're also kind of weak. Okay. Fuck. Like, yeah. You know? So yeah, that, and, also too, I guess it's funny. I was always just so fucking disciplined about getting my workouts. Like, I never ever missed workouts.
Right.
Ever. Like, I cannot remember many instances at all in 30 years where I was like, I'm supposed to train today, but I got stuff to do.
Right.
That does not happen.
Yeah.
So I sort of forget that people have motivational fluxes.
Right.
And I guess I do too. It's just that I had the discipline to push through them because motivation comes and goes. I mean, we've talked about that, right? It's discipline that hangs you in there.
Yeah, you just do it anyways.
But you know, off season, you should be having fun in the gym, you know?
Right.
And all of a sudden your motivation to train goes down. That's something you should pay attention to. I probably ignored it more than I should have.
Right. No, I hear you. No, it's funny because I put up a video. I just, I coincidentally realized I needed a deload and I had already scheduled my guy to film.
Yeah. It was good.
You know, but what was funny about it was, so we've been going for a while and we were deadlifting, which is something I'm very comfortable with. And I found myself trying to figure out where to look on the ground. And then thinking about it, my shoulders back, shit, I just don't do, you know? And it just kind of hit me like, what the fuck? So I go to Matt, I was like, when's the last time we deloaded? Because I'm like thinking like, when's it been? And he was like, well, not since I've been back from my bicep tears. And I was like, how long have you been back from them? He's like, 6 months. I was like, shit. I don't think I deloaded the entire time you were gone either. So like you, it's just, I think when you love to train and it's just part of your day, like you said, with the ups and downs of motivation, like I don't really think if I'm motivated to brush my teeth or take a shower.
Right.
I just wake up and brush my teeth and I go to the gym at 11.
And not only do you brush your teeth, but you couldn't fucking imagine leaving the house without brushing your teeth.
Exactly. That's the thing too, is in your whole day, I feel this way about off days that are scheduled. I'm a little tired all day on an off day.
Right.
Like I don't get that kick in the ass. So I started learning that I had to go for a walk in the morning on an off day. I mean, it's winter here, so it's cold. It's like 70 degrees, you know, I mean, whew, got to get out there and fight the elements.
Right.
And when I do that, I tend to feel okay. You know, me and the Yorkie. You know,
sort of get a little bit of a taste of the pioneer settlers.
Exactly. Like man shit. You know what
right.
I mean?
Right. Life is like
sometimes I wear technology. Shorts. Just because fuck you, winter. I'm coming at you. You know, sun's not all the way up yet.
You're going to bear the elements, you know, much like Leonardo DiCaprio did in The Revenant.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
Yesterday, didn't even wear my sunglasses. Man shit.
Okay.
I'm a beast. So yeah, it's a good question, but it's funny because I had a lot of people asking it after I posted that video. And it's kind of good to me that people are asking because it makes you realize that the people who follow us are kind of hardcore motherfuckers. There's one lady who I went back and forth with yesterday. It was great because she's like, yeah, I can't remember the last time I did, but I started thinking, fuck, maybe I should. And I'm like, hey, you're a badass, but yes, you definitely should take a break.
Right. Yeah, yeah. No, that's a good one. That's a good one.
And you did nail all of the of my whys, so we're good there.
Oh, okay. We're the same on the whys?
Yeah.
Okay. I've got another training question here.
Damn it. So go ahead.
So this one I held on to because I think it's a topic we can expand on.
Nice.
So the question is
answer three questions.
Perfect. Yeah. So it's three. Yeah, we're gonna get to three.
I got big goals, man. I got big goals.
Big goals. So it's from Vinny Garrier. Hope I got your name right. Thanks for the reply. Blah blah blah. Do you think DC training will add more size than a push pull leg split?
It is
Well, I think he's talking about the 2 day. He's talking about the 2 day DC.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So we were talking about the 2 day.
Okay.
So he's asking, does a 2 day DC add more size than a push pull legs? Mm-hmm. And the reason I wanted to answer this question is, well, I guess we got to do in tradition. You go first because that's the question.
You asked me a question. I have to answer.
Yeah. Yeah. How would you answer that?
For me, it's simple. The answer is no, across in either direction. Because what you're looking at is progression and progressive overload. I think there's way too much mental masturbation as into what goes with what. You know, I mean, it's really not that imperative to me. If you wanted to do pull and triceps, that would be fine. What I'm worried about is what you're doing in the gym. So what's your stimulus? What's your recovery time? And when are you back in the gym stimulating again? I mean, I don't really care what the order is. The DC split he's talking about only puts you in the gym 3 times a week. And with that, half of your body gets hit twice every week. So when you look at it at the end of the day, you're going to be, it's all about how many times are you hitting a muscle in a year? And those two formulas should be almost the same. You know, so it's pretty simple. But everything comes down to now when you're in the gym, how far you take it, making sure you're taking each set to absolute failure. And then how you get the fuck out of the gym, eat, sleep, and recover. The one thing I will argue for me with the two-way DC split that was a problem is my attention span.
Right.
The workout got a little long. And all kidding aside, as much as I dick off and have fun in life, I have a lot of shit to do outside of the gym. So I start to notice when the clock's getting long and I've got shit waiting for me that I got to go get done. So I kind of start to drift out of the gym. When I'm doing either the three-way split or a push-pull leg, I'm in and out of the gym. I mean, a slow workout is 90 minutes.
Right.
You know, which I think, truthfully, all kidding aside, my max in a gym where I'm having a focused workout is 2 hours. Past that, I'm hungry, I'm checked out. It's, you know, I'm wasting time.
Yeah, that's exactly why I asked the question. It's, I don't know, what's that famous quote? I don't want to butcher it, but it's some general said, like, an imperfect plan executed with violence is always going to be better than, like, the trying to take the extra time to make the try to find the perfect miracle plan. Yeah. Like just fucking, you just got to fucking get it done. I just think people, I've been getting a lot of these types of questions lately. Hey, you know, should I be putting this with that? Hey, you know, I was going to take a day off after legs, but you know, my back's my weak point and I work on Thursdays and I blah, blah, blah. Yeah. It's like, it's not about any of that. Like the program on the paper isn't what it's about, you know? Right. And I try to get that, you know, like I give my clients a program when they start with me because I want them to understand the way I want them to train.
Right.
But then beyond that, it develops wings of its own. You know, we start taking exercises out that don't work and we start, you know, adding a few sets of triceps on this day and we start, you know, and the program develops, but it's just the perfect program doesn't exist. There's nothing you can download that's going to be the plan.
Yeah. And, no, I think there's so much thought into that individuality too. I think with the addition of coaching and things, a lot of people think that there's some like, I need this program for me. I tell my clients straight up, minus DC, but my day-to-day program, everyone starts on almost the exact same program. I mean, unless you've got a pressing issue or this or that, this isn't a copy-paste thing. It's a fucking waste of time.
Yes.
Like, these are the exercises. Yes. Now, as we progress, and I find this one's not working well for you, this one's a joint issue, but day one, if I wrote 10 programs today, there's going to be 10 athletes training programs, one of three is hitting all of them.
Right.
You know, complicated. And I think it's funny because a lot of guys want to put like, oh, there's a magic training for each person. Dude, you're not advanced enough.
Right.
I'm sorry. Like that's the big thing I press on is I find that the people and God love them. I was the same way. I was so obsessive about the details, but sometimes it's about the broad strokes. You know, everybody wants to come in with a scalpel. I found the sledgehammer gets shit done.
Sledgehammer does get a lot done, buddy.
You know, just come in, go big. You know, I've had guys even say, you know, what height on the incline? I'm like, which one makes you feel strongest, have the least pain in your shoulders?
Yes.
Okay, that's the one.
Yeah.
I had a guy the other day said that he noticed that my chair height on my hammer strength incline press was different than when I trained with you. Which was awesome. I mean, the fucking attention to detail was impressive. And I was like, oh, well, the hammer incline is different.
The day we did the weird kind of low presses. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's funny. Yeah. That he remembered that.
You know, he caught that. That is something where, because he was like, do you vary it all the time? And actually, my answer is, that was a different exercise.
Yeah. Same machine, different exercise.
You know, yeah.
Yeah.
When I'm doing a hammer incline, I have found for the shoulders and everything, I'm sitting on the ground. That thing is so high on me. If not, it's cumbersome. The machine is too small to get. I mean, I know every big dude, when you're done with your set, you kind of jump out of the way and just let it fucking fall. Like,
yeah. You got a few inches where you just
I'm stuck. I mean, this is the end. So,
yeah.
But yeah, no, you nailed it. It's really just about don't worry about the mental masturbation of the little teeny tiny details.
Yeah.
You know, and you'll find too that it's the same as the guy that's on the hammer incline sideways doing one arm and he's 126 pounds. And no disrespect to the idea, but I want to walk over and say, why do you think you're so advanced that just using the machine properly with some fucking weight doesn't make sense?
Yeah. I know what you mean. It's like, you know, when you get a guy comes to you or a girl and say, well, you know, I really got to do a lot of leg work because I need to bring my legs up. And right. I'm usually thinking, actually, you just need to learn how to execute your leg exercises properly. You don't need to do legs twice a week.
Yeah.
You just need to learn how to train your legs. You're in here doing, you know, if I understand if you want to exercise or train to be an athlete. I know nothing about either one of those things. But if you're a bodybuilder, doing goblet squats with a 40-pound dumbbell, it's good exercise. It's good exercise. But your legs aren't going to grow from that at all.
It's 40 pounds.
It's a 40-pound dumbbell. Put three plates on your back.
Yep.
Like, you know what I mean? So that's just how, like, and I had this talk with someone the other day about why I was so drawn to Dorian-style training when I first started.
Right.
And I realize now looking back that a pattern in my life has been that I'm drawn to efficiency.
Right.
You know what I mean? I wasn't aware of it when I was young, but there was just something efficient about how he spoke about training.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that, because I just hate wasting time and I hate when people waste my time. And I think that's just been a theme in my training.
Well, maybe think about it. That is what everyone, that's why you get hired. They say, I'm at point A, that's point B, and I've heard if I hire you, I get there faster.
Right. Yep.
Yes, you will.
Yep, you will.
You know, I mean, and I think the most basic way to summarize this is Dante preached it to me, and I'm sure 1,000 people preached it before him, but it's quite simple. If you're doing incline bench, 315 pounds for 10 reps, I promise you, when you're doing 405 for 10 reps, you will be bigger.
Oh, you'd be a different person. You'd be a different person. Yeah.
You know, so that, and I didn't mention anything about eating. I didn't talk about drugs. The bottom line is those things, sure, they're going to be a part of it. But when you're doing another 90 pounds for the same 10 reps, you're going to be bigger. The end.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure, man. Okay, your turn. Your turn.
Nice.
We're back on track, Jesse.
We did good.
We're into four. Okay.
So we're at four. We're going to break the record.
I wonder what the record is.
Many minutes, six at best. And that's when I'm lying about inches.
Six. Yeah, and that's six winter inches or summer inches? Yeah.
Were you in the pool?
Were you just in a fight?
Now I have that going for me.
Hey, guys. Why are you using sports nutrition that was designed for someone else? At TrueNutrition.com, they offer the world's largest selection of quality protein powders, and they let you design your own custom blend from a variety of powders, flavors, boosts, and packaging options, like the Team Skip blend, for instance. That's over 20 billion possible combinations to create a protein powder tailored to your diet, your goals, your tastes, and your budget. TrueNutrition.com also offers the ability to create delicious custom oatmeal blends. And they're third-party tested, proving that all their supplements are ensured to have the highest level of quality and value. Don't be a sucker and pay for fancy packaging and gimmicks. Discover the source that bodybuilders trust and stop using mass-produced nutrition that wasn't designed for you. TrueNutrition.com. And use our code ADVICES at checkout to let them know that you support the shows.
Okay. This one is from MuscleFreak47. And he asked for HGH protocol. You guys prefer dosages, timing, etc. I'm going to expand his question before I ask it and say that pertains to all drugs on the planet.
Dosage, timing, etc.
Yeah. So, and the reason for that is I want to get your answer that I feel that everyone's missing. Go.
So we're just going to talk. So am I just going to answer about the HGH?
Yeah, answer about the HGH, but everybody understand we're talking about everything. Go.
So I think people put way too much unnecessary stress on themselves trying to figure out the timing of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I've had a lot of clients lately. They're like, hey, can I split up my, you know, let's say they're taking 300 milligrams of compound X a week.
Mm-hmm.
And compound X has a half-life of 72 hours.
Yep.
So they're taking like 100 milligrams Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Right.
You know, they're like, can I take a half every single day?
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that. I just say, hey, if you want.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's going to make a difference because they also have other like long acting stuff underneath that and all that stuff. I just think, I mean, if they want to, that's fine. If you want to like micromanage your GH timing, so it's at 8:35 PM every night, 22 minutes after your last meal.
Right.
You could do that, but I never did that.
Mm-hmm.
I just I think half the time the rule was just don't forget to take it.
Yeah. No, that's absolutely the magic.
I just took it at bed. I usually just took my GH at bedtime, but
mm-hmm.
you know, and I moved it around and tried a few things and didn't notice a single lick of difference ever.
I think that's a big one right there too, that you just said, which is there's so many things that we're jammed with, right? You got to have an inch of workout now. Oh, the Perry this and the, I love Perry, but anyway, lot of different things that people jam on. But what I find interesting is, or in the opposite direction, branch chain amino acids, right? They were God's gift to the world. We all loved them. Then some new study said they suck and now we all hate them. And I'm over here going, I actually can still tell the difference.
Right.
I take branch chains. So irregardless of your fucking paperwork, I know what I feel. So I'm going to take branch chains. I also use freeforms. Same thing with gear. Like, you know, here's a fact. If you wanted your levels to be prime and perfect all the time, then whether you're taking a TRT dose of 200 milligrams of test a week or whatever else you're doing, you would literally divide it by 7 and take it every single day at the same time. That or, would keep or, your blood.
Or why not divide it by 14?
You know,
take it twice a day.
Yeah. I mean, literally, like, you can go that far if you want to balance things out, because the argument is, for example, you're taking your Arimidex every day and you're taking your test twice a week, it's a moving target. It's accurate. But the problem is, bodybuilders, you guys are changing your shit all the time anyways. At no point are you going to be that perfect during a prep or anything like that. If you're talking about the rest of your life and you're just trying to keep things perfect so you know exactly where your estradiol is, exactly where testosterone is, yeah, that is the best way. Ron is not going to like it on efficiency. No, sir. He's not. You got to take shots 7 times a week and he's got to waste the fucking money on the pins. You can't use those twice. Honesty, like, that's the kind of stuff you should be thinking about, is the amount of mental masturbation you put into that. You nailed it, which is just take it.
And another thing too, to give a little bit of leeway to the other side. If you try something and you think it works, because for some reason you think you feel like your workouts are better or whatever, even if it's static, I support that.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what I just said with the branch chain. Like,
right.
Why would you let, you know, someone else's paperwork fact tell you it's wrong? You know, and like you said, or if you just feel better because you read on a piece of paper, you should take it twice a day. Go ahead.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
You know? But I have found at the end of the day, those who execute consistently without overcomplicating are the best bodybuilders I know.
Right.
You know,
right.
Like, yep. You know, I base when I have to do things on what the day looks like. And I know me, and at 9 o'clock at night, I'm not going to want to do X. So I should probably do it earlier in the day.
And also too, I've sort of seen bodybuilding, because I've coached so many people, I've seen bodybuilding through the lens of other people's extremely mind-bogglingly busy lives.
Right.
Like I've coached, I remember this one client I had, I'll never forget. He worked 2 weeks in camp and then he was home for 2 weeks and then 2 weeks in camp, and the gym at camp sucked. And it was an hour to the nearest gym, hour and a bit to the nearest gym. He's working 12-hour shifts.
Right.
So he would train at the camp gym all week, but when leg day came, he would drive an hour, train legs, drive an hour back, get to bed at like 1 a.m. and so he had that one leg workout while he was gone for 2 weeks. And then the week he was home, he'd train legs like 2 or 3 times.
Right.
And then the 2 weeks he was in camp, he trained legs once. And then he'd come home and fucking smash his shit out of his legs. And then the 2 weeks he was home, he had 4 boys who played hockey.
Right.
And being a hockey parent is no fucking joke. Like, you're up at 5 a.m. driving them to the rink, and you got 4 fucking boys, and they're all in different age groups.
Yep.
So you're going to
early there enough to get ready.
Holy fuck. He's going to games every single day, and he's fucking this and that, blah, 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 blah. And then of course you got to spend time with the wife, and it just, so when you see, and then he won the show,
right?
So when you see life through the lens of a guy who's living that, and you're like getting up at the same time and eating your perfect meals and cruising to the gym, and you know, like, it, you just go, fuck, like, this guy just worked hard and won. Yep.
Yeah.
You know, it was really just crazy. Like, some of the meal substitutions that he made and some of the fucking, but it was just being focused and consistent, and it overcomes, like how you say drugs cover up mistakes.
Yeah.
Hard work covers up a lot of little variables.
Oh, for sure. I mean, that's the takeaway I had from training at Temple Gym the first time. I remember, forget all the history in Dorian Gym. I just remember looking around and being like, Mr. Olympia was built here. Far better bodybuilder than I'll ever be. And we're not talking about genetics. I'm just talking about just better. I go to 3 different gyms depending on what equipment they have. Like, that level of spoiled, like you said, of eating the right diet and the right food. This guy went to a gym that was no bigger than my house. To win from beginning of his career, essentially, until he retired.
Yeah. And another thing, too, is he did all of his cardio pretty much on like a shitty little stationary bike.
Yeah, because it's all they had.
and you get to do your cardio on a $10,000 step mill staring at a row of asses. And it's just a different animal. It's a different like experience.
You're shooting down the way I do cardio is a bad thing just because he's in better shape than me. Yeah, that's because he's over there on his bike pissed off. Not a single ass to look at here.
Yeah. Imagine if he would have seen, if he could have seen into the future, been like, those fucking guys are doing their cardio staring at that.
Yeah, no wonder he's easy to stay on there for so long.
Yeah. No wonder they can do 45 minutes on the stepper. Oh, man. Okay, is it my turn?
You're up, dude. You're up. It's 5 questions.
Okay, you know, I'm having a hard time. I'm glad I'm asking this because you're going to go first. I'm having a hard time deciding what my answer is going to be.
Cheater. Go ahead.
So here's the question. I'm just telling you, I don't have anything yet. I might draw a blank when it comes back. What's the scariest thing you've ever done? Oh, that comes from the Novus. The_Novus. What's the scariest thing you have ever done?
All right. This is not an exciting answer, but this is the true answer. So the scariest thing I ever did was when I was 20 years old. I was tinting windows, hated my fucking job, but I was making about 80K a year with no degree, no nothing. Because remember, I was playing hockey. I had no plan B when I was playing hockey. I was going to play hockey, go professional. That was going to be the end of it. So when I got injured, I went and got a job, and then I somehow fell into tinting windows. The nice plus two was I made $40,000 on the books, $40,000 under the table. So I was making good money. And I hated it. So the scariest thing I ever did was I actually quit working there to go make $8.25 an hour at a supplement shop. Because wow. I knew I would like it. And I owned a house. I was married. I had, had cars. So yeah, that was a scary thing just because, I mean, obviously finances. But the realization that I had was I would walk through. I worked at a car dealership. It was actually the busiest, highest sales Dodge dealership in the world. And I remember walking from the employee parking lot through the bays of where everybody worked and then getting to my bay, the tint windows, and looking at these guys who had been working there for 20, 30 years. And I was like, I don't want to fucking be that guy. Like, they're literally coming to work for money, nothing right. else. And I also knew deep down that as good as the money was for where I was at, it's not a lot of money. You know what I mean? Right. And the credit for the balls award actually goes to my ex-wife, because I was complaining constantly on Sundays before Monday that I was going to go to work. And finally one day she goes, she quit. And I was like, quit? Do what? She goes, I don't know. Figure it out. So the next day I walked in and quit and I had no plan. I was like, right. fuck, you know. But the plus is, and I think it goes back to what you were saying earlier, what made it not scary was I knew how to work.
Yeah.
So when you fast forward the hands of time there, I ended up buying all of those stores that I worked at for $8.25 an hour 6 years later.
Yeah. Sweat, you know, so, equity.
And I sure as hell made more than $80,000. So we're all set.
that's good, man. It's funny because you went with the scary, like life experience scary.
Yeah.
Right. And I've got a few of those, but the truth is, looking back, I don't really remember being scared.
Right.
You know what I mean? I remember sort of like you said a key line there about you knew you had the work ethic, like you knew right. you knew how to work. So you're going to be okay.
Yeah.
And so I guess that initially I sort of thought, like, when I left everything at Edmonton and sold my house and Emily and I moved out here to start fresh.
Right.
That was pretty scary, but it wasn't, because I knew Mutant had my back and
yeah. I just had money from selling your house.
Yeah. I had, you know, a big lump of money from selling my house. So I knew I had a down payment for a condo and we were okay. So it wasn't really scary. I sort of was triggered by a couple memories I have from when I used to ski, actually.
Right.
Because I don't know if I've really mentioned this on the show, but I used to be like a ski fucking fanatic. I started skiing when I was 3 years old. And I think the last time I skied, I was 16 or 17. And I was just too serious about training. So I just quit.
Right.
But I was like the type of kid that went to the mountains all the time. Like, I skied every single night in the River Valley. We lived like 15 minutes from the River Valley. So my parents would just run me down after school and drop me off. I'd ski till 10 p.m., you know, and then on the weekends, I'd take the bus to the mountains right. and ski all day with the older guys. Cause, you know, like, I trained with the older guys.
Just like bodybuilding.
Just yeah. like bodybuilding. The older guys saw that I was like a little crazy. So like some of the older guys would be like, come ski with us, you know?
And you're a mess. Come with us.
Yeah. You're going to be fucked. You're going to be even more fucked up when we're done with you, you know? And I just remember like doing some crazy stuff, but there was one time we were in Jasper and we were skiing Jasper National Park, one of the most beautiful places in Canada, and we're up at the top of the top chair, very very peak of the mountain. It's called the knob chair. So we're at the very top, and that's kind of where guys go to maybe hit a little bit of out of bounds stuff,
right?
And we were skiing out of bounds and it was just sick snow. Like, it had fucking dumped. Like, it was crazy powder, and I was trying to keep up to these guys, and I was a really good skier for my age. I was probably 15.
Right.
And they were probably 18 or 19.
Right.
And I was keeping up really good. And we all had our wipeouts and our bails, but this one time I fucking fell and I slid upside down. Do you know what a tree well is?
No.
So you have an evergreen tree, right? You know, right. Like a Christmas tree style of tree, right? For those of you who aren't, you know.
For Dusty.
Yeah, for Dusty. So, you know, giant fucking 100-foot tall Christmas trees, right? That's what you're skiing between, right?
Right.
But just imagine if there's been 15, 20 feet of snow that year, there's going to be a giant fucking cavern underneath the tree all the way to the roots, pretty much, or all the way down to the ground where there's no snow.
Because the tree is...
Because the branches. So there's 20 feet of snow, but if you fall into the tree, there's actually a fucking 10-foot, like it could be a 15-foot hole
right
underneath, and you're upside down, and it's pitch black, and you've still got your skis on, and you can't fucking move, and you're kind of half buried in snow.
Right.
And I fell down this one. It was probably like an 8-foot deep hole. But I fell down it, and I remember the feeling of fucking panic that I had was like unbelievable. That was the most scared I've ever been in my life, because I thought they were all ahead of me.
Right.
And I was like, what's it going to take 20 fucking minutes for them to find me, or 30 minutes to fucking
will
hike
they
back
find
up
me?
Or,
yeah.
Yeah. And like 10 minutes, even 10 minutes, like I'm sitting there thinking, I can't even do 10 minutes. Like I'm going to lose my mind. You know, I was like really scared.
Right.
And I don't know how much time passed, but it was like a couple minutes and I was yelling. And then I fucking saw some light and guys grabbed my boots. They pulled me out and they were all laughing. They were like, holy fuck. You know, like, fucking.
You could have died.
Because that's kind of like, you know, that doesn't happen a lot. There's not a lot of them, but that one just happened to be like a pretty big well.
Right.
And so, yeah, I was just, that was the most scared I've ever been, I think, as far as like wondering if they were going to fucking find me. And I was like trying to get my skis off, but it's really hard, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, that was just, that's probably the moment I remember when I thought, like, holy fuck.
Yeah, that's another level of scary. I have zero moments like that in my entire life.
Right, right.
Apparently, I'm on the safety zone of life.
Right. You know?
That actually is a cool question, though. I bet you those are the kind of things I'd love to ask other people, because people have that fucked up shit happen to them. You know what I mean? And I think what you said is like there's a case where you're almost helpless, whereas everything that's ever scary to me – that's happened, like you said, it wasn't really scary. It was more like, how am I going to figure this out? But I'm going to.
It was more risky than scary.
Right. Well, it was scary for you. Yeah, for you it was scary because you're literally like, so well, this could be it. I could die right here. It wasn't planned.
I've sort of always been a little bit claustrophobic too.
Oh, okay.
Like, I sort of like, if a space is tight, I'm like, fuck, you know, a little bit. And so that was just like overwhelming.
Yeah, I hate that. Because
I'd fallen into trees before, like, you know, but you just like crawl out and laugh and stuff, you know, but that time was like just bad case.
Oh yeah, no, that sounds fucked up. As I was picturing in my head, I'm like upside down, stuck essentially with my skis,
pitch black,
and no idea where your people are. It's not like you knew you were in first, so somebody would realize they didn't see you.
Yeah
I need a flag for that kind of shit. Okay. I'm like the one with the bike, you know what I mean? The big fucking flag.
Right.
And that is why I drink hot chocolate down in the hot tub instead. All right, this is an interesting one. So I'm gonna bring you into the social media worry world.
Okay, here we go.
What are your thoughts on a woman that you're with who doesn't want to show any connection with me on social media?
Okay, so. Like it's somebody's asking you this. So he's dating her and she doesn't want to connect social media.
I want to see. Anyway. Yeah. So apparently she doesn't like his stuff, comment. Yeah.
She doesn't like his stuff.
Yeah. Like, you know how the world likes things now?
Oh, I thought she was like, I don't want to have anything to do with your Instagram because I don't like your posts.
Yeah. So you got to read into this shit, man. This is a tricky world. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, I mean, let's just face it. That's kind of weird. Obviously, there's a timeline for actually coupling on social media. Like, you know how sometimes people put like the person they're with is in their bio or... Yeah. They just post a picture or something. That is totally up to those people, the speed they want to take that. I think people rush into that way too fucking soon. I think it's a mistake for people to Instagram story any of their first 10 dates.
Agreed.
Like,
because oftentimes there's not an 11th.
Yeah. No, like, you know, they're on date number two in their Instagram story and their meals, and everyone can figure out who they're with.
Yeah.
And then even if they don't, like, it's just kind of, and maybe I just think that they that's nobody's business, but I think it puts pressure on the whole dynamic. I assume it would. And so I think it's a mistake to rush into, you know, actually announcing shit on Instagram. But liking posts and stuff, isn't that sort of like, was she liking his posts when they were flirting? And then she stopped liking his posts? That's kind of weird. Because I sort of think you should also support each other on in social media and, you know, that sort of stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree for sure.
So I would say something's up with how she feels about things. That's what I would say.
Yeah, no,
or she's I agree. Up to no good.
Well, it made me laugh when I read it because I was like, my knee jerk on the like, social media to me is interesting. Like, you would never in a million years see me put up the "This is the love of my life" post. But what you would see is me living life with the person I'm with.
Right.
You know, I always find it weird when someone puts up a story like, "Oh, I love you, Abby." Well, then fucking text her, because that has nothing to do with me. And I assume you love her. She fucking lives in your house. She puts up with your shit. But at the same token, I would be a little worried if a girl won't like your shit, because my knee jerk, if something doesn't make sense to me, I feel like I don't have all the facts.
Yeah.
So my thing would be, so what are you telling people about us? Because you're following my stories, you're coming home at night, but you don't want anyone to see that you like my stuff. You know what I mean? I find that to be a little bit questionable. So I don't really push too much in the social media world, because I really am a fan of kind of keeping my shit right at home.
Yeah.
But I'll be the first to admit that, yeah, that would bug me, the liking stuff, because especially in our industry, you know, because your friends and the people around you like your stuff. I mean, you know, Matt likes my stuff. His girlfriend will like my stuff. Emily will like my stuff.
Jedi likes my stuff.
Jedi likes Harvey's stuff.
Yeah.
but I think that, you know, it would be a little weird if Emily was liking my stuff and Matt's stuff and all the guys from the team and not Ron's. I'd be like, and I like to do the whole reverse look around shit. I'm like, "Hey, Ron, what the fuck's going on there? You ain't getting no double taps." So I know you're not getting taps at home either, mister.
Yeah, no double taps on IG means no double taps at home either.
Yeah, but the simple fact is, man, to me, if you're quitting that shit, next. Right.
Yeah. It's funny because I don't like putting my personal life on IG.
Yeah.
You know, like I don't do stories. Rarely do I do a story from inside my condo.
Right.
Because I don't even, if I do one, I sort of use the same wall behind me all the time.
Right.
Just because I don't really like people seeing like into my, I don't want people to see my bedroom and my fucking living room. And it's just kind of weird. And so occasionally there'll be a story with maybe the dog and like Emily's leg is in it.
Right. Yeah.
But I don't really post a lot of, like, when Emily and I are out on dates, like if we go for dinner or something, we're not like, I don't know, we just sort of, you know, I don't know, not really big on that, because there's something that I just want to be on my time, you know?
Right.
But then every once in a while I put up, like, I think the last time I posted a picture was like, I posted a picture at Christmas, I think, with Emily and I.
Right.
Right. Like, it's Christmas, you know, so we're in front of the tree, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, I know what you mean. Like, sometimes I think people show us a little too much and, you know, especially if it's a new relationship, and put a little bit of pressure on it.
Yeah. Well, I think you also end up with the, I find that sometimes when you're posting a lot of that shit, you're just pissing on my leg. Like you're marking your territory more than being with the person. And that's a sign of insecurity, which means you're already in trouble.
Right.
You know what I mean? I guess when you live around people or you know people, I don't need Emily to post 10,000 things about Ron. I know she's locked. She's in. She's happy.
Right.
You know, on the reverse, as we've just witnessed recently that I told you about, when people jump out and put their relationships out there and then all of a sudden you see all the pictures disappear, now you've made two announcements.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Or my favorite, when you start insulting the person and then 2 weeks later get back together. It's even more fun.
Right. Yeah. You just got to kind of keep some stuff to yourself. I know what you mean. It's like another thing too is, I was scrolling through my feed and like a really hot picture of Kendra Lust came up. Right. Shocking. And actually, that's not even the story. The story was Emily saw the Kendra Lust post and sent it to me and said, this dress is hot. Right. So I opened the post and it's Kendra and she's wearing this like crazy dress to the UFC on the weekend. Right.
Right.
Like slits up the side. And so I like the picture.
Right.
And I'm standing there talking to someone and he goes, is your girlfriend okay with you liking that? And I'm like, well, she sent it to me. And he goes, yeah, well, I can't go around liking other girls' pictures. And I'm like, well, first of all, it's a famous porn star. So like 500,000 people liked her photo or whatever. So it's not like a big deal, but
she only saw yours, Ron.
Right. But he's like, oh no, I can't like that sort of stuff. And I was like, holy shit. Like, whew. That'd just be weird. I don't care whose pictures Emily likes.
Yeah, I've never looked.
I'll like be scrolling and there'll be some like picture of some dude like, you know, doing an Instagram post. He's making a shake and he looks great. And it'll say liked by Emmy Bikini. Okay. I don't give a shit.
Why would
part of I like tons of photos. Some
yeah.
Like, it's just I just don't care. It's Instagram. Like, I don't care.
Yeah, no, I feel you on that one, too, especially in our world, because if I did that with any woman I've ever been with, then, well, I brought you into this industry or you were there and I took you to a higher level within it. They're all my friends.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? I'm like, you know, and you're not going to protect your way out of all of this shit anyways.
Right.
So, you know, if someone leaves you for someone they found on Instagram, they did you a fucking favor.
And another thing too is, yeah, exactly. Another thing too is Emily puts up some pretty hot pictures, right? Like she does photo shoots and she's
never saw, never.
Yeah, never saw, never liked by Dusty Hanshaw. Mm-hmm. And so.
Damn, I broke my finger. Go ahead.
So someone said they're like, isn't it weird when you see like the guys like that, you know, liking her picture? And I'm like, I want everyone to like her picture. It's algorithms. The more people like it, the more it goes out there.
Like some comments. Hello.
Comments, shares, fucking knock yourself out. Like that's.
Yeah, we're playing a different game here, kid.
Yeah, we're just not thinking the same. Like the thoughts just aren't the same, you know? So yeah, that's that one. Whose turn is it?
It's that was mine. It's your turn now. You're back. We're so shit. High in numbers right now. We're overwhelmed is what's happening.
So. Ah, man, I don't know. Is it time for me to do this, Dusty?
Yes, yes.
Is this where the show is going to go?
This is where it goes sideways. Where did it? Oh, wow.
So, first of all, I need to make a disclaimer.
Sorry, Luke. Go ahead. Oh. Yeah, I nailed it.
Sorry, Luke. So, the disclaimer is that I lost the name of the guy who asked the question. So I have to apologize because it was a good question and I thought I took a screenshot, but I just don't have it. And I don't know, maybe I could find it somehow, but I'm not that smart. So
let it go. I like it. I like it.
Just let him play. Jedi's playing in the back.
He's focused.
We got a horn section.
You know those little hammers the kids had? I thought he was like swinging the hammer.
All right. No, it's like a offbeat jazz horn section with no rhythm to it. It's like da 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 da. Okay, so the question was, and I apologize to everyone involved in this question, including Luke, because I'm not even sure how accurate this is because I didn't ask the question. So I assume this guy listens to their podcast and everything.
All right.
So he says, Luke likes anal, Fuad likes boobs, and James likes feet. What do you guys like?
Wow. Wow. I like this. I like this. I like this. Now, the only thing I don't like about this question is this whole idea that I have to choose.
Right. Like you have to boil it down to one word.
Yeah. Like you mean to tell me I got to lock it down to one thing.
I assume he has simplified all of their input and boiled it down to one word. But yeah, that's where we're going.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to go with I have a show called Dining with Dusty. And dining is my favorite thing. If I could dine and then she wanted to dash, I'm okay with that.
Little I am
still the winner. I'm still the winner in that right. situation.
Right. You know?
So yeah, that's a simple answer for me.
I assume you mean from one end of the buffet all the way to the other end.
Well, hey, I mean, yeah, I'm not just gonna stop. I mean, who chooses? We've already been over this part.
Yeah, you're not gonna skip the salad bar, are you?
Oh, absolutely. Someone's gonna toss it.
Dusty. That's the rules, man. OG since 92. I don't know how.
Yeah, when this became a fad, I was like, well, you guys just got
it. Yeah, all these new jacks talking about, ass eating's this new thing. I'm like, huh?
New to who?
Hey, like I said, some of us have been pioneers, Dusty.
I have a great story about that, actually.
So
I have to break this into a story right now.
Okay, we're doing a Bill Burr sidebar. This we're going off.
You'll love this. So I'm at the Olympia one year, and you know when people walk up to you and they go, "Ron, what's going on?" And then a guy walks up and goes, "Dusty," and I turn and I look at him. It's this built dude, good looking guy, nothing like me. I kind of looked at him, and he could see. I was trying to decide, am I supposed to know you, or do you just know me? This is the first game I play with everybody.
I know that game. It's very painful.
It's intimidating. I'm like, ugh.
Stresses me
out. Because I'm thinking, I should know you. I mean, he's a big fucking dude, and he's got a hot girl with him. And I'm like, hey. And he goes, you probably don't know me. I'm Jake. I'm Jamie's husband. And I go, Jamie as in my ex-wife? And he goes, yes. And I go, oh. And he goes, but it's actually my ex now. And I was like, oh, okay. And we talked for a little minute, and I decided I liked him, and I didn't know who the girl was that was with him. And I go, hey, you know that thing she does with her tongue? I taught her that. And his girlfriend lost it. She fucking lost it. She starts laughing.
Oh,
randomly high fives me.
Oh, but did he must have laughed?
Oh, he
too.
Lost it. He hired me a couple weeks later to look at.
He gave you money.
Greatest dude, man. Oh, yeah. It was good times. He laughed so hard. I'm like, this is my kind of guy, because I would laugh my ass off with that.
I can't believe he wound up giving you money. That's the fucking best part.
The story goes to the next level.
No. So, oh, man. That's,
and truthfully,
that's
like what I loved about it was, though, then when I got to meet the guy, of course, he was an awesome dude. And so it was just classic. Because when he laughed, I'm like, I fucking like this guy. Because I would lose it on that situation, too. I'm like, when you go with a line like that, you got two options. Dude's going to laugh or he's going to punch you. Here we go.
I think that the dude's way more likely to laugh. I think most people have a reasonable sense of humor. And I think most people appreciate when they know you took a risk.
You went for that line.
I've had people say some offside stuff to me before, you know. But yeah. I could tell they were like trying to be like funny.
This is going in.
So, and I give people quite a bit of leeway if I know that they weren't trying to be a dick, you know. Yeah. Like if I think someone was like honestly like trying to break the ice with me, or trying to like, hey, you know, we got that buddy, you know, like that sort of stuff.
Hey, we're Eskimo brothers.
Yeah, we're Eskimo brothers. Oh, I've got a few interests. I don't want to get into that.
Sidebar.
So when you look at the Olympia stage.
Go three from the left. Never mind.
Oh, fuck.
Sorry, we could really take this show to a dark place here. I'm sorry. I'm back.
Yeah.
This wasn't my question. This was yours.
No. So,
Shirt seems to be fitting so well right now.
I know. So, Okay. That's a very good answer, Dusty.
Thank you.
Do we move on from this question now?
You didn't answer, bitch. Nice try. I brought up a salad bar. Where are you at?
Yeah. So, whenever someone asks a classic question, are you boobs or ass? Right? That's a classic question. Ass man or boob man, right?
Yeah, and I have a simple answer for that.
My answer is, well, big tits are nice, but they're like air conditioning. You can just get them put in later.
Valid.
And so I always went with the ass. I was always an ass man. Mm-hmm. And I guess I saw that as like, you could tell more about your investment.
Well, she invested in it first.
Right. Like you can just, so I'm sort of an ass man. I've always been. And then a sucker for like nice legs too. You know what I mean?
For sure.
But I think after all these years, I think the most important thing is level of dirtiness. I mean, let's be honest.
Valid. It's very valid. Like, I mean, it could all be useless things.
Oh,
like a lifted truck that you don't want to take out in the mud.
I'm
right?
44. I don't have any time to waste. Like at this point, it takes a lot to keep me interested. I've done some things. Like, yeah, no, you gotta be willing to cross some lines. I need see your shirt. That's the quality I'm looking for in a woman. Yeah. Right? It's orally nice. Flexible.
I didn't say what kind of flexible I was looking for. Just, are you flexible? Good to know. All of them are great, really.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Well, that was a solid question now that we've derailed the show completely.
Solid. Solid. Glad that went well, Dusty. None of us are. We're still on the air.
Yeah, as far as we know, I mean, we haven't loaded this yet, but yeah.
Okay, you're next.
All right, we're gonna bring it back. I'm gonna get us back out of trouble here.
Can we salvage this? Can we?
No. All right, here we go. We're gonna keep it on couples.
Oh goodness.
BM Wellness wants to know: do you recommend couples who compete do shows together or compete on opposite schedules?
Oh.
Well, I'm going to add a second piece of her question because she asked another question. Any advice for wives or girlfriends on how to deal with our men in their competition preps? So you're going to answer both questions in one.
Okay, I'm going to get real.
I got you, B.
I'm going to get real on this one. I can't imagine doing a show the same day as my girlfriend or my wife or, well, Emily.
Same thing.
We've been together 8 years. Yeah. I can't imagine doing a show the same day. I couldn't wrap my brain around that. People that do that, they're amazingly generous to their mm-hmm. spouse. I competed to win. Like the way I competed, it wasn't like for fun or like to see how I do at this show. And it was like, I was absolutely training to win every single show I did, and anything less than winning was a huge fucking massive fucking disappointment. And there's no way I had any mental space the day of the show for anything else. It absolutely, everything's about me that day. That's how I competed. And I wasn't a dick about it. I had great people around me. I tried to make the day fun, tried to keep it light, tried to, you know, enjoy myself. But it's about, like, I'm not fucking worrying about how you're doing or how you're looking. I would not have been able to do that. So my hat's off to couples that compete together. I do know what it's like to prep at the same time.
Right.
I always found that to be no problem at all. Easy as fucking could possibly be. You just, what's there to complain about? Cook your meals, eat your food, do your work, train in the gym, watch TV together for an hour a day. So you got a little time together. You know, do something, keep it normal.
Yep.
And my ex-girlfriend competed 1 year. She did really well. She did three shows in a row and went all the way to nationals, and I coached her.
Right.
And so I coached her through three shows over the course of, like, I think it was 6 weeks or something like that. You know, so the whole prep for like 4 months and then three shows in a row. And then 6 weeks later, I stepped on stage and won the Supers at the 2007 nationals.
Right.
So I know what it's like to prep with the girl, and, you know, and then Emily, I prepped with Emily several times, and mm-hmm. we both did really well, and it went well, and no problems at all. So I just don't see, when you're both on the same schedule and you're both prepping your meals and you're both living the same life, I don't see how, I just never had problems. Now, as far as the help us ladies, how was it worded? Help us ladies out?
No, it was just how to... for the wives or girlfriends on how to deal with our men in their competition preps. She didn't like say if the man was being an asshole or anything.
But if the question sort of begs, like that sort of sounds like what it means, which is why I'm going to give this answer.
The different direction on my answer for this part, just so we cover all of.
Right. So I'm going to assume, that the question is sort of coming from a position of like, how do I deal with this?
Right.
And that's a huge problem to me, because your prep shouldn't make other people feel like shit. And it's your responsibility to keep your shit together. I've had meltdowns on prep and did
I've
I just
had
say
some
on
sorries.
Prep? Yeah. I hate that. Oh, I've said some, oh yeah, I've had some sorries. Like, and, but that's why Emily was like, you know, Emily was someone who helped me like that last year when I got my pro card. Like she helped me several times. Like that was a real tough prep for me. I was hurt and shit, and I had some bad days, and she was there to just absorb some venting and stay calm. And, you know, so that's what a partner should do. But most of the time, day to day, you shouldn't make other people's lives miserable just because you're dieting. It's not an excuse to be a dick. I still had clients I had to treat with respect. I still had, you know, I was still working in the bar half the time I was competing. I still had all these regulars I had to smile at and shake hands with and blah, 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 blah. And you got to learn to keep yourself together when you're dieting. Nobody else gives a fuck what you're eating.
Yep. Agreed. 1,000,000%.
No one else should have to care about your diet at all. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. That's a pet peeve of mine, is when people jam on that. You know, I've heard that even like out loud before. Oh, sorry, I'm low carb. I'm like, no one gives a fuck.
No one gives a fuck.
Nobody cares. Yeah, it's an amazing thing when people kind of like give themselves that out as if it matters.
I think that if you consciously make the decision that you're not going to give yourself that out anymore, and you're going to stop saying, oh, sorry, it's because of my diet, it's going to fundamentally change how you approach your diet, and it'll shift your mindset. I think there's nothing more empowering than taking responsibility for yourself.
Yeah, always, irregardless of what.
Take
and the best part is it is your responsibility. It's the choice you made puts you there.
Yes.
So if you have to be an asshole because of this, then don't do this. You obviously aren't wired for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? No, I feel you 100% on that. I agree 100% on the competing. I wouldn't want to do the same show, maybe once at the very end. If I was at a point in my career, like I guess I could say this, like if I was at a point in my career where maybe I was just doing the show and she was there to win, I can take my back seat when I know it's mine. But no, I would much rather, I like to go and be pom-poms and cheering.
Yeah.
You know, I've prepped actually every woman I've dated in the last however long, married to. And if I could change one thing, I would not prep someone that I was with ever again.
Okay.
Not because we had a bad experience, but because I really would like to be pom-pom's boyfriend, husband. Do your thing, girl.
That's enjoy that seat
because, you know, it's something that I've talked about people before. Like, I don't need any proof that I'm good at what I do. I could fucking announce, hell, I'll pay for it, who I hire for them. And to whoever I would hire should be pretty stoked, because that is a pretty high note on their abilities, in my opinion. If I ever end up in a situation where that's a possibility again, I won't be doing prep. I will be there cheering. I'll kick your ass in the gym. And when he tells you to stop being a pussy, I can rub your back, because I don't really like being the guy that tells you to stop being a pussy.
Right.
You've but if done I'm it coaching times, you, that's what you get.
There's a bit in there done that about it.
Yeah. I mean, and I remember when I was younger and kind of cementing my space as a prep guy, maybe ego would not want me to let every woman I've ever been is very talented in the sport as well. So I'm going to hand someone an overall winner. So my ego might have a hard time with that. Now, man, no, I mean, I'd love to just be a part of it. And like you said, I would love to prep with you, because the difference for me is when I'm in prep, I don't do anything. I don't go out. I don't do other things. It might be boring for you if you're not in prep.
right.
But on the flip,
you
I'm
might
also,
enjoy me more if you're yeah. also really tired.
Yeah. If you don't want to do this shit, but I am also the person that like, if you did want to go out,
yeah.
See ya. Like, I'm not the guy that's like, you can't go out to the club without me. I have to piss on your leg.
Right.
I don't dance anyways. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, totally.
Get it done. But so those are simple. And then for me, as far as the, if the question on how you handle your man is not from a negative connotation, I think the greatest thing I've ever had in a relationship is a woman who's not full of shit. I know for a fact that anyone I've ever been with, if they say that I look good, then I must look fucking crazy.
Right.
Because they know what I'm capable of. And, you know, Chris has dealt with Evian before and said, how's he look? And she'll straight up go, he could be harder.
Yeah. I remember one time Chris said, put Emily on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And I put Emily on the phone. It's like 2 weeks out. And I just, she's on the phone for a second. And then she just goes, no. And then she gives the phone back to me. And Chris is like, okay, let's do 1,000 carbs tomorrow. And I was like, okay. And then I go, what did he ask you? And she goes, oh, he asked if I've seen, if you were the fullest I've ever seen you.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, not even close. And he's like, okay.
Yeah.
Cause I think I just had like 2 high days in a row or something.
Yeah. But that's what I mean. Like, if I think that some people like to be coddled, that's what Instagram's for. You know, I need the person at home and the coach to be fucking truthful.
Yeah.
Including if it's the day of the show.
Yeah.
You know, and I've had to bear that burden before when I wasn't prepping someone that I was with. And I watched the entire prep and it was terrible all the way right. to the end. And I was just trying to keep the positivity up.
Yeah.
And then after prejudging, she came out and she goes, now be honest. I said, you look terrible.
Right.
But it was funny because it was like a relief.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was like, you lost a lot of fucking size. But when you hire somebody, my job as somebody who also does this is to shut the fuck up.
Right, right. Yeah, you have to get out of the way too. Yeah, I know what you mean. You know,
and I got my job back after that. The job I just told you 36 seconds ago, I don't want anymore.
Yeah. So is it my question now?
It is.
So this is from my training partner, Braden. So he's B Palm Tree on Instagram.
Why Palm Tree? Where does he live?
His last name's Palmer. So he just like, I don't know.
And now I'm going to try to guess where the tree came from. That a boy.
I don't know. Maybe it's just fucking. It's fucking coming up with names. Okay, so this one's for Braden. Apocalypse, end of the world scenario, zombies, solar flare, plague, whatever, take your pick. What measures do you take to secure yourself a gym, food, and supplements so you can continue to bodybuild through the apocalypse and be the biggest freak in the world?
Wow. Well, wow. Wow. I mean, the measures that you take.
Yeah, you're not stopping. It's fucking leg day today.
Yeah, you got to get your ass in there.
Most people have been wiped out. There's chaos, but you got to keep training.
Because there's a show coming, and who knows?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
We'll have to answer this together because
that's a tough one.
We'll have to build this one. So you're gonna need a gym,
right?
So what would you do? I think if I could start this, just this part, I think I would just fortify my gym.
Yeah, because you can just stay there.
I would just go live at my gym. So I would fortify it, board up the windows, metal bars, perimeter. I could have like guns through holes in the wall where I could fire around the perimeter of the building. I would fortify. I would fortify the gym.
Right. See, and I had a similar mindset. I was actually going to immediately get in my car and drive to Utah because my client Bronson has his own gym.
Right.
And he's an avid hunter.
Ah, so weapons. And it's probably
And we have food. He just killed and he just killed a bunch of fucking deer and shit like last week.
Okay, yeah.
So I've got my food covered, I got my gym covered, and he's gonna kill some motherfuckers. So we're in a good spot here. His kid will kill more people than I will.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Okay,
so we're on the same boat so far.
Now you're gonna need some allies. You're gonna need to invite a couple people because remember you have to share food. So you don't want to invite a bunch of people, but it'd be good to have someone to help you defend the you know,
right?
Defend the situation. Like you by yourself, that might be a little too much. But there's at least two of you. You know. Poo-poo.
Well, I got Bronson, which was a little bit ballsy because he's going to eat a lot, but he's going to kill a lot too. So that's good.
Right. Okay.
And I think I might bring in like one of those guys, like, what's that guy? And I just read about him. He's such a douche. That Amin, the guru.
Yeah.
Because here's the way I look at it. Like, he's so full of shit and he has a way of drawing attention to himself.
So he could be like, yeah, okay.
So like all of the zombies are going to come to him. But I think when their eyes start to glaze over, when they realize he's full of shit and all the things he's talking about, Bronson can pick him off from a distance with a bow and arrow or a gun. And they might kill him, which is a service to the world.
Well, there you go. Wow.
Well, a little pointed. Could you tell he pissed me off recently?
Yes. Yeah. We'll have to get the details.
Yes.
Now, what about food?
I got food.
So I would, you got a hunter. So I'm thinking.
And I already got a full freezer.
So I would have to go to Safeway and I would have to raid the canned tuna. I would get all the white albacore tuna I could, Dusty.
What about the bags? The bags are nice, huh?
I would get only if it's a white tuna. I would get as much tuna as possible. Lots of non-perishables, truckloads. And I would, you got to stock up. It's going to be a while. It's going to be a while.
Yeah. You want some heavy. The nice thing is like breads and things, if you keep them frozen, they don't go bad.
Right. Right. We have a freezer.
You have snow now. So
yes. Actually, it just rained now, so all the snow's gone.
Oh, damn it. That just fucked your apocalypse. Big time. I'm in Utah. I got snow. We're good.
Yeah. Okay. Now, so so you just train and eat, and there's lots of supplements at my gym. I blast through them in probably 6 months, but you know.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm in a solid spot there because I've got Firebird down the way that I used to own. So I would just leave a fucking sticky note on the counter of an IOU.
Right. I took 50 bottles. I emptied 50 pounders.
The good news is he's a big mutant guy. So I got a ton of good shit coming with me. And Lance knows I'm good for the money if I don't get killed, as long as Amin takes him. Okay. So
there you go. So you'd be in Utah. That's good to know.
Yes, I better find out where his gym is in case this happens. I don't actually know.
Yeah, see, I know that a better location would be like an isolated mountain gym, but I just...
It's essentially where I am now.
Yeah. That's where I would be. There you go.
Maybe you should just
come ideal. That would be ideal scenario. Ideal scenario. Also, it wouldn't be a bad idea to have some place that had like a harsh winter to kind of freeze everybody out.
Yeah, which I think... I kind of feel like we got covered there. You know, it's not... We're not Edmonton harsh, but...
Right.
You know, I have to survive too, so Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
You know, I do have a North Face coat though, so that's cool.
You're fancy.
I'm ready.
It's for those Arizona winters. See? Brought it back around.
Circular. Everything's gotta
right
be
to circular. The start. Right to the start. How are you feeling about that, Dusty? It says hour 35.
Solid. I feel like we did well. I think we really brought it all together there. People know some important shit about an apocalypse.
Yeah, that was a good question.
And salad bars. So, yeah, we've covered a lot.
And how jaded I am and difficult to impress.
Yeah. Very valid point. See,
it's
you guys are learning more and more about us. And
don't whine to me about your quads burning. My quads are burning. I don't care. Your quads are burning.
That's fucking gold.
Okay, Dusty, we will be back next week. We got to get a guest lined up. I got a couple people that I've been chatting with. So we'll have to talk right away about who we're going to nail down.
Sounds good.
Okay, thanks, buddy, for everything. Remember, thanks for liking, subscribing, commenting, and sharing. Hey, And remember, it's just bodybuilding.